Our gospel reading this morning is in the book of John, the 17th chapter. I am not praying just for these followers. I am also praying for everyone else who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. I also want them to be one with us. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. I have honored my followers in the same way that you honored me, in order that they may be one with each other, just as we are one. I am one with them, and you are one with me, so that they may become completely one. Then this world's people will know that you sent me. They will know that you love my followers as much as you love me. Father, I want everyone you have given me to be with me wherever I am. Then they will see the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the world was created. Good Father, the people of this world don't know you, but I know you. And my followers know that you sent me. I told them where you are like, and I will tell them even more. Then the love you have for me will become part of them, and I will be one with them. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
And before I start the sermon, happy Mother's Day. It said that God couldn't be everywhere, so he created moms. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping I hear from my four sometime today. There might be messages on my phone when I get back out to the car. A lot of you know my family. My Becky and Izzy live up at Dubois. Anna lives over at Greensburg. And Robert is a captain in the Army stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. He is a tank commander. So I come to you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I also bring you greetings from my dean, Eric Risen. First, I want to tell you all what a joy it is to be with you today. I know so many faces here, it's like coming home. And I remember the times when I got to lead worship back as a lay worship leader almost a decade ago. Secondly, I pray for you to have God's guidance with the Holy Spirit as you discern all the decisions you will be making here shortly. I must confess that there is a part of me that is very excited about the possibility of my two congregations being able to work with you if you become part of the Mid-Northeast Mission District of the NALC. As I read the gospel reading this morning about 2 weeks ago, I thought, oh, great. This gospel lesson is about unity, and I'm not really here today to talk about unity. Unfortunately, unity was not prevailed in the history of the church. Even in the very beginning, there was disagreements. If you read the books of Acts or the letters from Paul to the early churches, there was always disagreement, and he had to try to keep them in line. Even after the fall of Rome, when essentially the church had control of both politics and religion, there was rarely unity, but often disagreement and corruption. Then all that disagreement hit the fan, so to speak, when on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 reasons why he thought the indulgences were wrong, and a firestorm began. In Luther's time, the church, which was the Roman Catholic Church, the only denomination in Europe, preached and taught and lectured only on the law, how all of mankind was condemned, and there was little chance that there'd be salvation. The church was mostly successful in telling the people in the pew this because many did not read the Bible. Luther was a biblical scholar. He read his Bible every day. And one day, while reading, he stated it was like being born again as he read these words in Romans 3. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jews and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Luther taught that there was also grace, and that law and grace, gospel, are both part of a Christian's life. The two need to be held in tension. Many of you know the story of the Reformation, and time would not allow me to delve into it deeper. But reform did happen, not in the church that was present and dominating, for they had blinders on and did not see the errors of their way. Reformed happened in the forming of a new denomination, the Lutheran Church. But that was not the end of the story. For Luther said that the church needed to be constantly reformed. And that is why we have over 40 different Lutheran denominations in America alone today. Now, let's fast forward to present day. In our present time, the church, which you all know as the ELCA, since 1988 when it was formed, some preach and lecture and teach only on grace, how all of mankind is saved and there's little chance of going to hell. This is universal salvation theology and teaches that there's no need to believe in Jesus Christ. Everyone is saved, be they Hindu, Islam, Islamic, even atheist. It doesn't matter. There is really no need to worship or go to church, for we are all saved. The church has been mostly successful in telling this because many do not read the Bible. They hear, but they do not comprehend John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Or John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Luther taught that there was also law, and that grace and law are both part of a Christian's life, that the two need to be held in tension with each other. And this is just the tip of the iceberg on the questionable teachings that are out there. Not only in the ELCA, but in many of the mainline churches today, the thoughts and actions of the leaders do not reflect the thoughts and the action of the people in the pews. Several years before the 2009 church-wide decision happened, I happened to be talking to a respectable pastor in this area, and he told me he saw the ELCA like a large ocean wave. The leadership in the ELCA on Higgins Road in Chicago are on the tip of that wave. And the people in the pew, you, are down at the base of the wave. And what happens when a wave gets too far out from its base? It crashes. Listen to the words of our second reading this morning from the book of Revelation. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the books of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. There are consequences for not holding up the word of God to others and for taking away from it. So what about unity? What about our gospel reading when we hear these words? I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Is there such a thing as unity, a unity in Christ, where Christ is the central focus? I attended a funeral last Thursday. It was down in northern Franklin County. I have a good friend down there whose son died very unexpectedly at the age of 32 from a massive heart attack. Now, my friend was raised what they call Old Order River Brethren. It's basically the next thing to Amish. He left that order back when he was a young man, but many of his friends and family still attend that order. The large church where the funeral was held was packed with Amish and Old Order River Brethren. Many of the mainline denominations were present, even Roman Catholic. During the service, it was announced that after the one prayer, the Old Order River Brethren would sing a song, and everyone was asked to join in on the second verse. I expected that after the prayer, the Old Order River Brethren would come forth to the front of the church and gather and then begin to sing. But as the amen was said to the prayer, singing erupted from throughout the congregation. They sang a familiar tune, but with different words that were printed on the large screens in front of the church. When the second verse started, all of our voices were raised in song. It suddenly dawned on me that here was unity. It was not that all of us were present, believed in the same theological doctrines. It was all that all of us present believed in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We came together in the unity of being focused on Christ the Redeemer at that time of sorrow. We have seen this throughout our history. The best example that comes to my mind was 9/11, when for a short time our churches were filled as people turned their eyes upon God. We had unity. We live in the muck of the world, where our secular world wants us to be in its realms and in its hold. The secular world wants control over us. But in the center of that muck, we have the Word of God, Christ Jesus, telling us that we are to be in this world, but not of this world. It is hard to follow that instruction when many of the mainline churches today want to be of this world and follow more of a political agenda than they do the Bible. It is refreshing for me to know when I teach and preach, my bishop agrees with what I say. And more important, likewise, when my bishop, John Berdowski, speaks and teaches and preaches, I agree with what he says. It is apparent that we're both reading the same Bible. For years, as a lay worship leader, as a seminarian, and the beginning of my ordained ministry, I did not always have that feeling. I now belong to a denomination that has no problem calling God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I now belong to a denomination that sees both men and women worthy of the office of ordination as long as they uphold Scripture. I now belong to a denomination that upholds the sanctity of life and opposes abortion from the moment of conception. I now belong to a denomination that believes and is not afraid to state that marriage is between one man and one woman. I now belong to a denomination that when we gather in convocation, there is joy, there is a feeling of unity. I now belong to a denomination that makes sure their seminaries are taught that the virgin birth and the resurrection of our Lord are not just nice little stories. I now belong to a denomination that focuses on historical biblical truth and not on promoting a political agenda. I'm not here to sell you the NALC or to bash the ELCA, but to tell you the journey that I have been on. I feel in my heart that I have made the right decisions and that the changes that I and my congregation have made have been on the right path. But I know there are many that feel that I have been wrong. Whether right or wrong, I truly will not know until I stand before my Lord. but I am at peace with the decisions we have made. You have to recognize the difference you all have. And with those differences, you cannot let hatred and malice into your hearts or into the heart of this congregation. Some of the most liberal and revisionist pastors I know still open me with open arms, greet me with open arms. We have agreed to disagree on these theological issues, but still treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Sadly, though, there are many who will not greet me any longer. These issues have torn apart hundreds of congregations throughout the country. Please do not let that happen here. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, you have to discern prayerfully about the decisions you will be making. I have held Holy Trinity Lutheran up in prayer during the prayer of the church at both my congregations for months, and I will continue to do so. May God bless you, and may your hearts be open to the Holy Spirit dwelling among you. Amen.